Welcome to my podcast, Tricks of the Trademark. This is Eric Pelton with another podcast episode in which I share advice and experience based on my 20 years of working with clients around the world to protect and strengthen their brands. I often try to relate stories about trademark cases that have been in the news lately. However, it is challenging because, number one, full details aren't always available for how a case ends up getting resolved. And number two, with any legal dispute, there generally are a lot of nuance and complex issues. So it's hard to do in a podcast of a few minutes or a blog article. But I want to tell you about a recent issue involving the website backcountry.com. They now just go by Backcountry. And you may have heard about this. It was in the news quite a bit a few weeks ago. There was some significant backlash to overly aggressive trademark behavior by Backcountry. For background, backcountry.com is an online site for buying all kinds of outdoor apparel. And since then, the brand has grown and consolidated with some other companies over many years because it's been around for more than 10 years. Backcountry, for those of you who may not be avid outdoors people, is a word for the like undeveloped wilderness. If you go skiing, but you don't ski at a resort and you go skiing just by hiking a mountain and in the woods, you're in the backcountry. So it's a term that has a meaning for outdoors. I don't think it's overly descriptive of their products or services. It perhaps describes the people who would use it or where they would use some of their products and services. So they've had a bunch of trademark registrations for Backcountry and backcountry.com. And over the years, they've gone after a variety of people who had outdoor service or product businesses that had Backcountry in the name. These are hypothetical examples, but they're the type of things that they would go after, like Jim's Backcountry Ski Shop that sold ski equipment, or Backcountry Explorers for a service that gave people tours of the wilderness. They succeeded in many of those claims because many of them were against small businesses, and whether they had good defenses or strong defenses or not, it's very expensive for a small company to take on a big company when they might lose, because every trademark case has a lot of gray area and every trademark case is expensive if it's fully litigated and is very difficult to recover damages or attorney's fees as the defendant. It's relatively rare. So they won a lot of these cases. I say won, perhaps in quotes, by often getting the other side to back down, to default, to cancel their application or registration or change their name. They continued doing this, perhaps more and more aggressively, emboldened by their success. And finally, with many cases pending, there was an article written by the Colorado Sun newspaper at the end of October that exposed this pattern of behavior and the fact that a lot of people thought that this was overly aggressive, perhaps bullying behavior, attacking small businesses on grounds that were questionable, maybe at best. And as a result of this article, the internet in these outdoor activity industries, on user boards, on social media, went ballistic. And immediately, within 24, 48 hours, there were boycotts and viral messages and chats trashing Backcountry for their activities, picking on small businesses, trying to monopolize that term in the industry. And of course, in this outdoor sports industry, independence is beloved. And I don't think it really would have mattered what industry this was, but maybe that was an additional factor here as well. The backlash was so big that within 1 week, the CEO had to post a message apologizing, saying that they got it, they understood, they were planning to reassess their entire legal strategy, work with different attorneys, retreat on a lot of cases. So they really worsened their position as a result of being so aggressive. Now, the news story going viral is what triggered it, there are lots of companies that act in similar manners all the time. Not a lot of companies, but there are more than a handful of companies that are very big, that are very, in my opinion, overly aggressive in going after people. One is Monster Energy Company. Another is Duke University. And you can look and, you know, if you just Google Monster Energy trademark dispute, you'll see where they've been involved in many, many trademark disputes about using the word monster, many of which have very little to do with the beverage industry. That's just one other example. What I want to close with is the lesson from this backcountry.com is that it is important to enforce trademark rights, valid and good trademark rights, but it's important to not try to overly enforce them in a way that may come back and actually damage your rights and do far more harm than good. And this is what is known as the Streisand effect. I've written about this before, but basically the Streisand effect is from an old case involving Barbara Streisand and her physical estate. By trying to quell a dispute, it actually brought more attention to it, and it actually had the opposite result of what she was hoping to do, which was not have people publicize photos of her house and her estate. And so I warn clients, trademark owners, before sending a threatening letter, before filing a suit, to step back and look at what are their ultimate objectives here. Might what they're trying to do actually backfire and actually cause more harm than more good? And that's something that, in hindsight, I think Backcountry wishes it had done. And that is a trademark story from the trenches. And I'm going to try to follow up every couple of weeks and tell you about other trademark stories in the news, other trademark litigation and trademark disputes from the trenches. You've been listening to Tricks of the Trademark with me, Eric Pelton. I've been making trademarks bloom since 1999. For more information about my trademark services, visit my website at ericpelton.com. Thanks for listening.